While I was on pilgrimage last month in Lourdes, on one of the days, it was late in the afternoon, and I decided to walk back down to the grotto for some additional prayer before going to dinner. I know that some of you have been to Lourdes, but if you haven't, the grotto is simply located in the side of this rocky cliff. The place where Our Lady appeared, the indentation, and then below that there's a kind of a cave in which is you can see the miraculous spring water that's coming out below the grotto. And before the grotto there are these long benches where people can sit and pray and also attend Mass. There's an altar there under the covering of the grotto. And then there's a kind of a large amphitheater and the river and more space on the other side. So thousands of people really at any one time could be gathering at the grotto of Lourdes. Well, the afternoon that I went down there, there were still a fair amount of people milling about. It was a beautiful fall afternoon. It was pleasant and warm and the sky was blue. And I was struck by how quiet it was as everyone's milling about and making their way through the grotto, touching the water and blessing themselves with it. And as I was standing there at the rails, two women came up and they just began speaking to each other in a normal conversational tone. And one of the ushers immediately went over to them and went, "S'il vous plaît, shh." And they, "Oh, sorry, sorry, quiet." There's several ushers stationed around the grotto, making sure that the atmosphere remains prayerful and quiet. Well, all of a sudden, from behind me in the back, I heard this great shout and that echoed through that kind of amphitheater. And I turned around and I saw a teenage boy with his family. And he was, his limbs were really rigid and he was rocking. And he would shriek out in what was unintelligible words. And as soon as that happened, the ushers, you know, quickly moved over to where the family was to intercept them. And they, instead of, you know, shh, they took the boy and his parents and walked them past the huge long line of people that were waiting to get into the grotto and touch the water, walked them right past all of those people, opened a velvet rope, told these people to wait, and ushered the boy and his family into the heart of the grotto. Now, one might think that the ushers were just keeping the peace. Let's get this kid through. But as I continued to stand there, it happened again and again. There was an elderly woman in a wheelchair way in the back. Ushers quickly went over to her and brought her and her caregiver past the big long line of people waiting to get into the grotto, pulled the velvet rope back and had them wait while the woman was able to wheel into the grotto to touch the water that was weeping from the stone. As I was, and again, I witnessed that over and over again, it was almost like the treatment for a VIP, like a wealthy movie actor had showed up, or an important head of state had showed up, or a prime minister, a president. Everyone waits in line, stop, and this person with a handicap or a disability gets to go to the front of the line. And I remember thinking to myself, where else on earth is there more profound respect for the sick and the suffering than in Lourdes, France? I couldn't think of a place. And it also occurred to me, that's what Mary would want. That's what she would want for her children. And I thought, gosh, you know, good for those ushers. And I was thankful that they, you know, treated those people with such great reverence and respect. And as they were cutting in the line, I watched the faces of the people who were standing there. No one rolled their eyes. No one shook their head. No one said, "This isn't fair. I have my ticket." They knew exactly what was going on. That sense of profound respect. And I don't speak French, but I went to the, as I was leaving, I went to the ushers and I touched them on the arm and I said, "Thank you. Thank you." We just heard that there was a scribe who came up to Jesus and asked, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" The first of all the commandments. And Jesus replies, "The first is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And although the scribe didn't ask, Jesus then gives the second. "And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Jesus answers the request for the greatest commandment by giving two commandments, which suggests that love of God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength necessarily implies love of neighbor. And who is my neighbor? Well, in Lourdes, my neighbor was an autistic teenage boy and an elderly woman in a wheelchair. On my flight home from France, we went over the northern part of the world, and the captain announced at some point that we were passing over Iceland. And it was sunny out and crystal clear day, so you could see the island and the snow and everything very beautifully, and people were taking photographs from the aircraft. And as he announced the country we're passing over, I was reminded of a CBS News story that recently aired, indicating that that nation, the nation of Iceland, is on track to completely eliminate Down syndrome. Maybe you saw that. But, you know, digging a little deeper in the story, however, they're not really eliminating Down syndrome. They are simply using prenatal testing to determine which unborn children have the syndrome, and then nearly 100% of those unborn babies are aborted. So they're not eliminating the syndrome. They're eliminating the people with the syndrome. What a profound contrast with Lourdes. It just struck me as I was sitting there. What a profound contrast with the reverence that the sick, the suffering, the autistic, the Down syndrome, the profound respect that they were receiving in Lourdes contrasted with the country of Iceland. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Imagine what a beautiful world this would be if we could all live out that golden rule. The golden rule starts by reminding ourselves that the value of our neighbor's life is not based on material wealth or social status or accomplishments or good health. Instead, the value of our neighbor is to be found in the intrinsic worth of being created by God in the image and likeness of God. Human beings are the only ones in creation, the only ones in creation that can claim that dignity. This appreciation for the dignity of the human person then allows us to love our neighbor as ourselves in countless ways. We've all seen examples of that in the grocery store line, where some person has just this massive basket of groceries, and someone comes up with a jug of milk. Well, what often happens? Why don't you go first? I'm going to be here all day. Go ahead. Or letting someone enter. You're on a busy street, and this person's trapped in the parking lot trying to get out with a, you know, kind of a look of dismay, and to say, you know, go ahead. the people behind you are not all that happy, but that person is. Or raking the leaves of an elderly neighbor, or doing what is depicted on the cover of our bulletin. I found this, and I thought that it captured this gospel passage very well and in an ordinary way of just carrying the groceries for this guy in a wheelchair. The Lord Jesus reminds us of the greatest commandment. And in some ways, I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that's the first one's kind of easy. Well, who of us wouldn't say, yeah, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Yeah, I do. I love you, God. But it's that second commandment in which Jesus kind of says to us, prove it. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the second commandment is to prove it. Well, the ushers in Lourdes prove their love of God every day. The lady on the cover of our bulletin is proving her love of God. And we, too, are called to prove our own love of God through the golden rule. Love your neighbor as yourself.